The shots heard around the world, shocking moment as former President Trump was in Pennsylvania at a rally when this happened.
That chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
Terrifying.
Yeah. He was grazed in his ear by an assassin's bullet, and they said, experts were saying, if he did not turn his head at that time, he would more than likely be dead.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been killed at that moment.
We do have an update in just a few minutes about from former President Trump himself. But at one point, President Trump did say that he doesn't typically take his eyes off of the audience. I mean, he does move around a lot and will, you know, make eye contact from one side to the other. It's typical, right?
Right.
He said, but looking back, he realized that he was looking at a chart.
Yep.
I think that was like that, right behind him,
I've never
him, right?
seen him have any of his things before.
And he said that it's like not typical in something that he would normally do. And he said, as a matter of fact, not only turning and looking at that chart was abnormal, but also that he was looking up. So even if he had just, all in hindsight, but that had he not looked at the chart to begin with, and also had it not been higher up where he had to tilt his head, that's where, when and where the bullet grazed his ear. That is what saved his life.
Is it half an inch that's away crazy. From him being killed?
Yes.
Half an inch.
Me and my, my son and I were watching the replay of it over and over.
Yeah.
And a lot of people I saw were criticizing the Secret Service, but I know there's two issues here. The one where, well, how did he get up there in the first place? But the response after the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really look at it, the screen, it seems like they came in late. I think a lot of people see it now. There actually was two that actually got in quicker. It was a total, we counted, 1.5 seconds before he was tackled. The other two that came in after, that was the secondary. There was actually two under like the kind of the podium area that as soon as he went down, they tackled him. Mm-hmm. So they actually responded right away with that. But there's going to be big problems when people are pointing out a shooter on top of a roof. And how did that guy get up there? Why wasn't that secure? Where's everybody else?
Yeah, we mentioned a little bit earlier or in the show is like, yeah, there was brave Secret Service people that, you know, on the interior with Trump, but a major failure on the perimeter.
Yeah,
major failure should have never happened.
And it was really.
He should be dead today.
Yes,
and that would have been.
Yes,
I don't even want to think about what our country would be doing right now. But I mean, seriously.
Well, and that's one of the things about this in general is very difficult to talk about because it's such a polarizing subject. You know, it's like there's such high emotions on all sides. But the fact of the matter is, this is a former president and an assassination attempt. This is huge.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's huge. Yeah. And I have never in my life, obviously, I mean, we see photos of Kennedy. We've seen photos of Ronald Reagan. I mean, those are photos. But to actually see the response of the
Secret Service,
where like they circle around him and
create
down
a barrier.
On the ground. I mean, I've never witnessed that.
Did you see all the military people come out too? I didn't realize they were standing by. Because from what I understand, there's less Secret Service with a former president than a current president.
Yeah, they were talking about that. Something,
yeah, that is correct. Yeah. And actually, it was so odd. I think I was telling Jason this last Friday off the air. I was saying, I heard a interview with a former Secret Service person, and she was saying the way it works is she started off with a former president who wasn't as big a target. It was George H.W. Bush and Barbara Bush when they were like in their 80s.
You have to like work your way up.
You have to work
your
way up and, you know, get used to the whole different thing. And she said if someone gets close enough to the president, either physically to punch or hit or gunshots, there's been multiple failures before that.
Mm. Really?
She said that shouldn't even happen.
That makes sense.
But sometimes it seems like he just goes right out in the crowd.
It seems that way.
But that plane, remember the plane? He like landed the plane one time on a runway. There was a whole rally and he came walking on the wing of the plane and people were high-fiving.
But they knew he was there and they already had the perimeter as secure.
Because they worked so much in advance. Well, you sure?
Yeah, that can happen anytime.
Yeah, they can
punch. And then supposedly they have all sorts of technology that can, you know, can scan to see if you have weapons or knives or different things. But yeah.
And I'm sure. And you know what the thing is, Kitty, you're right. It's polarized. But the one thing I think most people say, this is nonsense for the country.
Absolutely.
You're not taking political violence over people. That's the whole point of this country is to be free and have the freedom to disagree or agree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like lately, and I think Squid said it, is like what's wrong with everybody? It seems like everybody's just mean as hell and erratic. And it's just like, it makes you feel so less secure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And it's scary.
And something that it's a big deal in general, but also it's, you really take a step back and think about how, you know, you just hear and read about these types of things happening, but to witness it and be a part of it, to happen in real time is just, I don't know.
It's sobering.
Some presidents have a glass, like a bulletproof glass in front of them.
The Pope does. Mm-hmm. The Pope travels in what we call the Pope Mobile for that very reason.
I don't think Trump will do that, though. I think he's just like, he wants to be fighting and correct it. He doesn't want to do that. But
I don't know if any president has ever done
that.
The Pope does for some reason.
Well, see, this is the thing. The guy I saw, it was in, what's the country? Venezuela. What's the country that, like, all of a sudden crashed really bad and they were trying to force this other guy and whatever? I'm like, not too long ago, there was an assassination attempt on him, just like this, where, and there's a glass there and they rushed him off. And I remember.
Oh, was it Haiti? Was it when Haiti, the president of Haiti was sleeping in his
different one.
Oh.
This was in, it's one of the countries that basically fell in, like, everything, inflation went up to like 300%. It's either Venezuela, one of those places. Mm-hmm. And he's standing there and the assassination attempt goes off. And I'm like, God, this is crazy. Wouldn't want to live in a country like that. And then sure enough, this just happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, like nothing.
Well, and the crazy, you know, we got a million different things to get to, but even the photographers are kind of brave.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
They're still taking pictures.
Like taking pictures of bullets whizzing by and then...
And getting the flag in the photo.
Right, yeah. And like getting the perfect angle. I mean, the greatest picture I've ever seen. I mean, that's the most stunning picture that wasn't posed for.
Oh, you sure?
With Trump.
Yeah.
He stands up and he's fist, you know, doing the, like, saying we're going to fight, and the blood on his ear and face, the Secret Service surrounding him, and then the flag behind him.
That's
crazy.
Whoever the photographer is needs to have like a super rare. One, you're brave, too. It's not even blurry.
Yeah.
I would not be thinking about taking photos when I'm hearing gunshots.
No.
You know what I mean?
I like,
no.
Move over in the photo. I mean, he's literally.
Candids are best. But the one photo that I found just to be sobering, was a great word, is the one where Trump is on the ground. And so he's in between Secret Service's legs.
Yes.
You see him, you know, on the ground. And I thought, the hell's taking that photo?
Yeah, exactly.
But somebody did.
Man, did you notice he had two women Secret Service agents?
Oh, my goodness.
First, I was like, I don't know. And no offense, but I just was like, because women physically most of the time.
You don't get to be in the Secret Service if you're just half-assing it.
Well, they might have to have certain equal. But regardless, women physically tend to be not as strong as men.
Mm.
So I would be questioning it a little bit. But apparently, Trump knows all those people.
Yes.
And they have relationships. But those women, they seem like they're pretty hardcore. I mean, I wouldn't want to mess with them.
No
way. But they seem hardcore.
They would take you out in 1 second.
I know it's funny. I saw people on some people on social media complaining about the female Secret Service people. I'm like,
what the hell?
Like, who are these idiots?
Yeah.
And here we go. Right here.
Here it is.
Jason acting like, you're acting like the Secret Service is Title IX or something, dude. It's not.
It was a compliment. Man, I said I was shocked to see the two women. I said they were really tough.
Oh, that's what I said.
Although I do think if you're going to surround the president, you need to have somebody like almost as tall as him. He's crouching down, but then it's like there's
how
somebody,
tall is he?
I think he's like, I don't know.
Is he tall? I mean, Barron's super tall.
He's over 6 foot.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we do have eyewitness accounts from the assassination attempt of former President Trump.
And the first eyewitness is a man who told law officials that there was a man on the roof climbing multiple rooftops. This is something that he is claiming he saw himself.
I noticed two officers that were looking for something or somebody. I was looking around myself and seeing a guy on top of one of the buildings go in between one building to the next, and went and told the officer that he was up there. And when I went back to my spot, I heard that people could still see the person from where they were standing. So I checked that out, and I went back to tell the officer that if he came over there, he could see them. And when I turned my back is when the shots started, and then it took me a second or two to figure out exactly what it was. And then it was just getting out of there.
Did the police not do anything when he told them? Oh, that's a big problem.
I mean, my understanding is like one was supposed to. There's conflicting reports,
but they said so you're supposed to see something, say something, and they were kind of
like,
"What?"
Yeah, and then they're like, they didn't go approach the guy right away.
But then I was hearing, and this could be total.
CYA.
I don't know. Yeah, because I have not. Well, no, I have not looked. So, to verify it, but that apparently a police officer did approach the shooter on the rooftop, but that the shooter aimed his rifle at him and the police officer retreated. Now, I don't know. I've heard that as well.
Yeah. And that caused him to shoot faster than he wanted to.
Like, hurried him up.
He still was half an inch from, my gosh.
There was another sniper on the roof, but that was the Secret Service sniper that took him out.
From a different area.
From a different platform, not on that roof.
That guy couldn't see, like, isn't his job to scan all the roofs?
I think he was scanning the audience. They're saying, sorry, Katie.
That's okay.
And they're Secret Service experts and former Secret Service people are saying that rooftop should have had at least police all around it so people can't climb up on it, or a sniper on that rooftop. That rooftop should have never been left empty, which is a total failure on the part of the Secret Service.
You know, it'd be interesting because Trump was at the Greensboro Coliseum and they have that whole balcony and all that stuff. I wonder if they, like, the Coliseum sees all this, like, maybe they were all behind there. Do you think they're all over? Do you think there's a lot more of these that we have no idea that's going on? This is for security?
Could be. Absolutely. Yeah. I would hope so, that they're, meaning that there's security that we don't even know about?
Yes.
I would hope so.
Okay. Right. Because I was shocked to see the military people come out.
Mm-hmm.
And if Biden comes, because he's the president, he should have the most Secret Service. I'm wondering if there's just places you would never think, and maybe undercover in the crowd, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there undercover secret?
On planes, there are.
I mean, the air marshals on there typically. Well, and there was a man who died in the audience attending the Trump rally. His name was Corey Comparatore, and there was a man named Joseph who was in the audience, and he describes being right there when Corey was shot and killed.
I was attending the rally. I was in the set of bleachers, the very far left of the podium where President Trump was speaking. You know, I was there with friends. I heard several gunshots. The man beside me suffered a gunshot wound to the head. Was instantly killed. Fell to the bottom of the bleachers. Another woman looked like she got hit in the forearm or hand. And then at that point in time, it was rather chaotic at that point because half the people were looking because they thought it was fireworks. I knew it was gunshots right away. My friend, you know, he hit the deck. I was kind of looking around just trying to see where the shots were coming from. It seemed to me like the shots were coming from behind the bleachers. It seemed to me the man got hit in the head from behind. He was killed instantly, as far as I could tell. And at that point,
that's scary.
Yeah.
State police and a SWAT team, you know, started evacuating the bleachers, and then I helped carry the man out of the bleachers to a tent that was behind the bleachers.
You helped carry the man yourself. What was his condition when you were carrying him?
He's deceased.
Oh. And he was protecting his wife
and
kids.
How close were you to him?
Oh, my God. A
couple yards. I mean, it wasn't very far.
Did you know the man?
No. It's a police ranger. They put a towel over his head and then carried him off.
So it was that guy accidentally hit by this guy that was... How bad of a shot? I mean, why would he shoot the audience like that?
I don't think he's bad. I don't know. There was a bullet, picture of a bullet going behind President Trump's head, and then one that hit his ear. I mean, he was half an inch from killing the president. I don't know.
He shot like 20 times.
I think it was like six, but yeah.
Oh, I thought I heard 20. Okay, six?
Yeah. I heard six.
Okay, I heard six. Okay, originally somebody said 20, but
there's sniper fire back at him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you're hearing way more gunshots, but they're not coming. They were not coming from the audience,
right.
Well, and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro spoke with the widow of Corey Comparatore, talking about Corey himself.
We lost a fellow Pennsylvanian last night, Corey Comparatore. I just spoke to Corey's wife and Corey's two daughters.
Oh.
Corey was a girl dad. Corey was a firefighter. Corey went to church every Sunday. Corey loved his community. And most especially, Corey loved his family. Corey was an avid supporter of the former president and was so excited to be there last night with him in the community. I asked Corey's wife if it would be okay for me to share that we spoke. She said yes. She also asked that I share with all of you that Corey died a hero. That Corey dove on his family to protect them last night at this rally. Corey was the very best of us. May his memory be a blessing.
Is that Josh Shapiro?
That was the,
Mm-hmm. He's a Democrat.
The Pennsylvania governor. I mean, what we were saying from the very beginning is that, you know, this goes way above politics.
It should.
It absolutely should.
And I think it is in many corners.
It is.
Is that this is an assassination attempt on a president. This is an enormous news event.
Right. If it happened, it was President Biden. It'd be the same, this is horrific.
It is a horrific thing that happened. And then there are innocent bystanders and then they're in the audience to just going, thinking that it is a safe and secure environment to be in. I mean, yes, there are always risks to everything, but you think Secret Service and that, okay, maybe I'm in one of the safer places to be right in this moment, but you weren't.
And can I say this for any of the people out there, and I've seen it way too much, they're saying that this was a staged event. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I've definitely seen and heard that.
Oh, it's all fake to make Trump look better.
No.
You should be ashamed of yourself and tell that to Corey's widow.
Family. And you know, we absolutely do hear that and see it. And everybody, you can think of whatever, you can think whatever you want.
Sure.
However, to be fair, we live in a reality world. We live in a time where we have AI, we have reality shows, we have things that are we're being told are real that are absolutely not. And so I think the fact is, I mean, the fact that people have that thought, I don't know about the shame on them. It's like, because that is what we're presented.
I disagree. I mean, I think initially when you don't know, when it first happened and there's no one, but I've seen people post it and even saying, oh, well, the person died. And it said, Trump doesn't care if people die around him.
Okay. Well, I mean, then that's adding your own
speculation. Shut the F up. Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Speculation.
Your hatred for somebody or a party is so great that you're going to dishonor somebody who lost their life because of your politics. I don't know. I think it's disgusting.
And it's the fact that this is not how this country is supposed to be.
Right.
And we're trying to move forward and evolve the best ways we can as a country as a whole. And it's like you take a couple steps forward, you take five steps back. To me, this is a big five step back.
Mm-hmm. I think the misjudgment is, it's fine to question it and fine to to not have all the information and to kind of figure it all. But then the misjudgment is the posting and, you know,
or then when you do have the information and and saying like, oh, Trump doesn't care if people die around. It's like, and it wasn't just one person. It's like a lot of people and some, you know, but for the most part, the vast majority of people of all backgrounds have been, you know, let's come together as a country.
And you realize that this is just a horrific, horrific thing that has happened.
Somebody, I'm not going to say their name, sent me an Instagram message. I'm not going to say the name. I could, though, if I want to, but I'm not going to.
I know you want to.
They said, just sent me a message saying, damn, they missed.
Oh, I've seen that a lot, too.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's a horrible thing to think, but happy birthday, because it was a birthday. But they wrote back saying, oh, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't think like that. But I don't know what I'm thinking of, but thank you. So they were like, they kind of snapped out of it. But it is a horrible thing to say about anybody or anything.
Absolutely.
Well, you just never know who you're standing with. You know, we're talking about heroes everywhere, especially, you know, Corey Comparator, he's a father and husband and former fire chief. But there was also somebody, and we do have Jared Cut. Three, an emergency room doctor who was there in action the second that things were happening to help. And so it's just, I don't know.
Did somebody else get shot too?
There was somebody else was injured. Two other people injured. But an emergency room doctor was right there.
I heard the shots. I thought it was firecrackers to begin with. Somebody over there was screaming, he's been shot. So I made my way over. I said, I'm an emergency department physician. Let me help you. The guy had spun around, was jammed between the benches. He had a headshot here. There's lots of blood, and he had brain matter. And so I got him. There's a helicopter coming in to get him. I got people there really helpful. I got him up on the bench. Then I did CPR, did chest compressions as well as a brief one.
Is anybody else? Did anybody else pass away?
No.
Or are they in critical condition? Or it's just
my understanding? Two people are still in critical condition.
Oh, critical. Okay, I heard about that.
Has it been updated today? That's last night. It was still critical too.
Not that I have. Seen.
Can you imagine being the people behind Trump?
No.
Like, where did the bullets go? Because he was going. You know. How did nobody? All the people behind him not get shot?
Well, if he's shooting straight at Trump and depending on how the seating was, and he was off by millimeters or a couple of inches here and there. I don't know if the stage behind him, like, because it seemed like it kind of is like almost like a half circle, like most of those events behind him. And I'm wondering if the people at the end of the half circle on the right are the people who got shot.
It could have been.
Because they would have been more in the line of fire.
Mm-hmm. Because
the guy was on, you know, shooting straight. I mean, you know what I mean? He wasn't standing up. He was lying down on the, there's an incredible video of him like readjusting and getting ready to shoot the president that just came out today.
Someone, they were videoed. So this guy was well known to be on the roof by regular people with their phones. And
there are lots of audio now that is coming forward. People in the audience spotted this shooter and were saying things out loud in the audience.
What a colossal failure on the perimeter. Gosh. The perimeter was, we're lucky.
I wonder how many, based off of this, of how many times, though, in the past we've actually prevented. I wonder if
I'm sure it's a ton.
I bet you it's, we don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. How many times we prevent it because of the proactiveness, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Right.
Not letting the person there. And we might never know, and the Secret Service might not never know because of all the security and the things that they do. How many times did we prevent this from happening and this one just got through?
Well, and you know how we'll say sometimes that it's like for U.S. citizens, we can't really keep things to ourselves. You know, like we'll announce that we're going to go do something before we do it. You
right,
know, and
right,
it's like,
right.
Why would we tell?
I know.
Wonder if maybe we don't hear about those kinds of security breaches on purpose.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Not to give people ideas or how they found them or what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or, oh, well, that won't work.
Right.
But they had people that said they saw him walking across the parking lot with a rifle on his back. He wasn't even trying to hide it.
Shocking.
But then also, I give these people credit because see something, say something type of thing.
They were.
But
they were.
I could also think like, well, is he part of the Secret Service or whatever?
Like,
I guess,
who would just walk with a rifle on their back? Like
climb a ladder with a rifle on their back and get on the roof. But people were like, this is something's off here.